Would you bow your heads with me as we share this morning in prayer? Father, I'm so conscious of the last phrase we finished singing to you, where it says that I owe all to you. I find it interesting, Lord, that your free gift of your Son, this free gift of salvation, of nothing that we paid, of course, creates within us this kind of a debt, so to speak, that we love you so much, we know we're not worthy, and we owe you everything. There's a sweetness to that. It puts us right in your hands. And you said that nothing, no one, would be able to ever take us out of your hands that way. I want to tell you thank you. Thank you for this morning that you've given to us and getting around on a Sunday. I know sometimes can be hectic, particularly if little ones are involved. And yet at the same time, it's worth the investment. And Father, here we are celebrating you, sharing with each other. And I ask and pray, Father, as we are here, there is a oneness with you throughout all of us. And that oneness is wanting you to be able to be in complete charge of our life. It's also a time where we take, as you might say, Father, stock of our life for this week. And maybe there are things we need to lay down before you and say, God, I need your help on this. Or God, I need to go and make something right. Or sweet Jesus, thank you for taking care of me. All these things, Father, we give to you this morning. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank you one more thing, Lord. I want to thank you for the privilege of living in the United States of America. I thank you so much for the vision of our founding fathers to create a constitution that allows us the freedom of religion. And so, Father, we stand with that and give you thanks, not to take it lightly, but to take it seriously, that we can gather of our own free will at any time without someone else's permission. Wow. And there we find the greatest freedom in the world with Jesus Christ. In that we give you praise and thanks. And the church said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, usually at this time, we ask if there's some kids would like to come up and get on the front row, and I'll share with them a moment. And then I think we've got some special activity bags, and so we put some whistles and little drum sets in there for this morning. And so I'm going to have some of the family come up, and I think Grandpa is leading the whole clan. And that is a beautiful sight. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, man, this is amazing. Oh. Wow. So how is everybody doing? You okay? All right. Can you tell me a place or a store that you really like to go to? Where do you like to go? Is there one that has a big yellow M called McDonald's? Anybody like to go there?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Is there a kind of an ice cream store you like to go to?
Yeah.
Brahms? That's my favorite. Did you know they have the best black walnut there in the world, I think? You don't like that, I probably don't, huh? What else? What's another store you'd like to go to? Well, think with me for a moment here. We've all just kind of come through Christmas, right? And in the Christmas story, it talks about some shepherds out in the field. And all of a sudden, angels come to those shepherds and tell them to go into a place called Bethlehem. And they said, you were going to find Jesus, and he'll be laying in a what?
Manger.
Oh, you know the story well, right? And so the shepherds went there. Right? Oh, you know the song. Okay. This is awesome. And so the shepherds went to the manger and they found just exactly what the angel said. Now, here's what's interesting. The shepherds didn't just stay at the manger. They left. They had to go back to their sheep. Because sheep watching doesn't stop. And it's like you and I. You know, you can't always just stay at McDonald's. I mean, even though you'd like to. You can't always just stay at Brahms all day long. You have to leave and go do what you need to do. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is that we get to know Jesus Christ, but we've got to go and do what he wants us to do. Okay? So you'll listen some to what I say, and I think Miss Cheryl will help you get these things here, and you can take them back with you, okay? Thanks for coming up.
There's a basket in the back that you can put these in.
Precious. You know, we sing that Christmas song, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. You know, I like that song. It has a simple melody. And when you sing that song, you kind of pick up on the security, the safety, the warmth, you might say, the closeness of the manger, this manger experience brings. But we don't live at the manger. Life is not meant to be lived at the manger. Rather, life is meant to be lived away from the manger, with the manger experience living inside of us. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Away from the manger. Because life is meant to be lived away from the manger, with the manger experience living inside of us. Because the Christ child, Jesus, in the manger, it's been made into a beautiful scene, and I love it. But we can't leave him there, because he doesn't stay there. Jesus lived an amazing life. He died for us, went back to heaven, sent His Spirit to live in us, His Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that He'll come back to take His kids home. He'll judge all people according to their decisions about Him. So, how do we picture Him now? As a baby in a manger? Or as perhaps your Lord and Savior? In Luke, the second chapter, beginning with verse 15, I'm going to go back to that Christmas story here just a little bit, because it's the part of what I want to share with you this morning. And I want to read it to you out of the Message, and it's just good old down-home talking. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheep herders, that would be the shepherds, of course, talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left running and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. And all who heard the sheepherders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself. The sheepherders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. Take that last phrase, that last sentence, it turned out. Read it with me. Here we go. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told. You see, the shepherds returned to where they had been watching over their sheep. Life went on. Sheep watching didn't stop. But the shepherds were different. They were different because they experienced the Son of God and the manger. Our manger experience is us accepting and believing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and letting Him be Lord of our lives. I want to say that again because I'll talk about manger experience. Our manger experience is us accepting and believing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and letting Him be Lord of our lives. And life goes on, doesn't it? Somebody once said, and I believe it was Oswald Chambers in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. And Oswald talked about in there how we can rise to a crisis. And it can be a difficult crisis. It can be a big crisis. But he said, some way, somehow, we can rise to that crisis. He said, it's the daily stuff that gets us. The everyday stuff. So the question is this. Away from the manger, is the Son of God getting a chance to show His self through you and me? And that brings us right away, kind of face to face, to that old question, what would Jesus do? Now, if you've believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the manger experience, then wherever you are, and whatever you're doing, whoever you're with, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. I remember a number of years ago, when I was a young boy and we were living in Durham, Kansas, and my brother and I pulled a stupid stunt on Halloween. How Dad heard about it that quick, we don't know. But Dad was waiting for us when we got home. And I think the thing that bothered Dad the most, well, of course, is what we did. And he marched us back up to those people's house the next morning, you know. Dad looked at us and he said, boys, now you got to understand, Durham's only 160 people. You know, it's only there 3 days a week. So whatever happens in Durham, I mean, it's over there in 10 minutes. He said, boys, we have a name in this town. We stand for something. That's no different than you and I in our relationship with Jesus Christ, is it? We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And because of that citizenship, there is an expectation to conduct ourselves accordingly. So I want to walk you through three things here about living out the manger experience away from the manger. There's some notes for you in the worship folder there. I mean, you can fill in the blank. They're pretty simple. And when we get done, you put your name on it, turn it in, and I'll grade it and let you know how you come out. Okay, here we go. Number one, the first one is others. Yeah, others. The others are sitting around you. The others are where you live, your neighbors and things like that. Because I find out sometimes that the Bible can be somewhat frustrating in that it never seems to give us exceptions. Do you notice that the Bible never even talks about our feelings? I can't find anywhere where it says, if you feel like doing this, go ahead and do it. Ooh, wouldn't that be something? It's just not there. You know, there ought to be Bible exceptions to what would Jesus do, especially to a discourteous driver, don't you think? Or a rude clerk or a salesperson or maybe a blockheaded family member that you had to buy a present for this year. A smart aleck, know-it-all, or maybe someone who has slandered your name, told a lie about you, or accused you in the wrong manner. But there aren't any exceptions. For instance, many of you, when this service is over, will go out to eat. It's the restaurant's privilege and the waitstaff's privilege to serve you, right? Okay. And they better be quick, efficient, never missing a thing, right? After all, you're the customer, right? What would Jesus do? Ah, Tim, you're probably thinking you've quit preaching and gone to meddling. Well, that's what this is for. How would Jesus treat someone serving him? How should you treat a person, or how should you, as a person who's had a manger experience, treat someone serving you? May I suggest the following? This is my view of eating at a restaurant. Here we go. Ask your server their name. Use it when you speak to them. Be courteous and thankful. Say thank you for each act of serving. They'll come up oftentimes and fill your water or whatever you've got. A lot of people don't say a thing, raise their head up. You can turn your head and look at and smile and say thank you. If they make a mistake, put them at ease by you being at ease. Yesterday morning, Cheryl and I met her sister and brother-in-law. We went out to eat there in Wichita, and we got up real early to do that. Well, what's wrong with eating breakfast at 10:30? Tell me. So we're at a Cracker Barrel, and we had this neat little gal, and easy to get along with and things like that. Did it go perfect? No. But she was so sweet, took care of everything, forgot something like that. We just had a great time. We were at ease with that. Pray before you eat, if you want to, because I don't know if you've discovered praying doesn't affect the taste of your food. I don't know if you've realized that. It just doesn't. But then if you do, act like you know Jesus. Keep in mind that God made your server too, and you don't own them. Smile a lot when you speak to them. And please, please, don't leave the table looking like a stick of dynamite blew up. And tip well, at least 20%, because that's their main income. Now, if the above is too difficult, here's an out. I suggest the following. Don't pray before you eat. I don't want the restaurant staff to know you think you're a Christian. And for crying out loud, don't tell them you go to church here. I don't want that kind of advertisement. You might think, ooh, Tim. Yeah, ooh, Tim. Because this is our life outside of the manger, away from the manger. It's daily stuff, people. In John, the first chapter, around verse 12, the Bible tells us that Jesus gave us the right. We didn't have a right. He gave us the right to become children of God. And in the manger experience, we leave our rights there, in a sense. And that's tough for us Americans to do. Did you know that on average, the average person will in 1 year associate with and communicates with 225 different people. A lot of the people are the same. We come here on Sunday, you don't count because you're the same. But the average person in 1 year will associate with and communicates with 225 different people. Hey, each one of those 225 will also associate with and communicates with 225 different people, and on it goes. Do you see how exponential this is? And we start it somewhere in our behavior and our conduct. Because whether it's a restaurant, whether it's at work, whether it's a clothing store, whether it's a supply place, office, Dillon's, wherever you go, it makes no difference. The manger experience means the same. Somebody said that every day, in every way, preach Christ. If necessary, use words. Enjoy your meal. Number two, the first one was others. Number two, stand firm. Stand firm. The world has plenty of people who retreat when things get difficult or it doesn't go their way, or a majority may not approve of their convictions. Stand firm. I want to share with you a quote by Rick Warren, who pastors Saddleback Church in California. I like his stuff. Here it is. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. You want to get this. You don't want to miss it. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second lie is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. I like that, because we hear the opposite. We hear the opposite. In Luke, the second chapter, verse 17 and 18, the last two verses of what we read this morning, it talked about this. It said about the sheep herders, seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child, and all who heard the sheep herders were impressed. You see, the Christian, you know, the one who's had this manger experience, ought to stand firm, unashamed in their convictions from the Scriptures, in any kind of group or people. They've been to the manger. They know Jesus on a first name basis. You're a part of the family. You're a child of God. You're a brother and a sister in Christ to Christ. In fact, Acts, the second chapter, verse 47, tells us that the new believers enjoyed the favor of the people because of how they lived their lives. And in Colossians, the third chapter, verse 17, the Bible says, "And whatever you do," let's read it together. Here we go. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." One more time. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." The other day, Cheryl and I were in Sam's, and there's a man there that we've seen a number of times. His name is Leonard. And Leonard, his business there is he's cleaning all the time. I mean, that's all we see him do. And Cheryl went up to Leonard and said something about she appreciates the way he keeps things clean. And he said, "That's only through the grace and the mercy of the Lord." That was his answer. "Thank you. It's only by His grace and mercy." And I thought, yeah, that's a pretty good answer. Whatever you do, whether in deed or word or deed. You see, when you do that, that's standing firm. Because standing firm means you may have to be strong. And strong in Christ and strong in His promises based on what the Scriptures say. Now let me kind of clear this up a little bit. Remember, You can be strong smelling and stink both at the same time. Now, I like the smell of good perfume. That was one of the things in Cheryl's stocking, this, I like the smell of good cologne. But I don't like to be downwind from an active skunk or dead fish. All are strong. All affect the sense of smell, but one does it a lot more in a positive way. Stand firm. The last one, number three. Be united. Be united. This is for the church. Let others squabble. Quarrel. Let others complain, gripe. Hey, we've been to the manger. And away from it, we are bound in one spirit, one faith, and one heart with God. That is the church. It includes this one here at 7th and Jefferson. But it is the church worldwide, the body of Christ. Manger people aren't gripers. Maybe this is new to some of you. Manger people aren't gripers, complainers, mumblers, whiners, selfish, stuck in old ways that ought to be changed, with sour looks and sour dispositions. Manger people don't climb miff trees. What do you do if you don't get your way? What if things don't go the way you think they should? Particularly in church, or at home, the family, or at work. Shonda, if you can put up, thank you. I didn't know you had that. That's good. Look at Luke 2:18 up there. And I'm going to close with that. It says, and all who heard it, that means what the shepherds said, were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Help me out here. Just listen. What would happen? What would happen if that verse was read this way? And all who heard and saw those who had been to the manger were amazed at how they talked and acted away from the manger. Let's do that again. I have to have it twice because I was born in Oklahoma. Here we go. What would happen if that verse was read this way? And all who heard and saw those who had been to the manger were amazed at how they talked and acted away from the manger. It doesn't mean that, does it? Or does it? Would you stand with me, please, and bow your heads. And we'll spend a moment in prayer. The worship team comes up and shares with us. Father God, you are amazing. And this is the last Sunday of this year. And we want to get into that new year. And I think the concept of being manger people who have had that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ can be used every day of our lives, 24/7. We are. We're your kids. You got papers on us. We're a child of the King. That's our identity. Oh, we won't do things perfectly all the time. We'll mess up. But by grace and mercy, we'll make it right. We'll probably apologize. And we'll pick ourselves back up and keep on moving and doing our daily things. Because some way, somehow, our life will make a difference. We can't help it. And we want it to make a good difference. In your name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.